Blog Talk Radio.
Do 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 do. Oh, hello. Let me get the door. Hey, how are you guys?
We're good.
Hey, how are you?
Oh, not too bad.
Look, so bad, so real. I ride it, get some big tall hills, big fat checks, big large bills, run out flip like 10 car wheels. Cold. I give raw chills, 10 different looks, and my lips so kill. I kiss them in the mouth, I feel all grills. Heat in the car, that's milk on wheels. Woo! I was born to flex, diamonds on my neck. I like boarding jets, I like morning sex. But nothing in this world that I like more than checks. All I really wanna see is the
money.
I don't really need a D, I need the
money.
All I back need is the
money.
I got pants in the coop, busting out the roof. I got pants in the coop. Touch me, I'll shoot. Bow.
Take a little money.
You get a little bag and take it to the store.
Money.
Get a little cash.
Money.
You shake it real fast, you get a little more.
Money.
I got pants in the coop, busting out the roof. I got pants in the coop, busting out the roof. I got a fly, I need a jet.
Oh, wow. So, like, you come with your own intro music. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, we're about to have a party at Carl's.
Absolutely. Come on in. Let me show you around here. There's the studio. Your mics are ready. You can see up in the production booth. There's Doc. Say hello, Doc.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, Doc.
Hey, Phoebe, how are you?
Hey.
Toad.
So, Mika, what are we going to talk about tonight? You said you had something planned.
I kind of had planned. I wanted to talk about Hollywood and just men versus women in Hollywood, because it's always seemed like it's a battlefield out there.
So we're thinking like maybe a gender equality in, high paid professions. Is that maybe it?
Yes. How men seem to get paid more than women. And a lot of people don't think nothing's wrong with that.
Yeah, a lot of people don't even know it's a problem.
Well, it's kind of funny because... You take a look, and I know we're talking about actresses and the entertainment field, but take a look at all the females that were elected this past in the House and in politics and that sort of thing, and take a look at how they're being treated. There's definitely an inequality there, no question.
Well, exactly, and a lot of that, to go with what Ms. Mika is saying here, I think a lot of that really does stem from Hollywood, because most people, the average everyday man, kind of gets their views of a perfect world from what they see in these Hollywood movies, and, they become obsessed with these Hollywood characters, and It's no problem that, the women in these movies are making far less, because they're still making these movies and there's still these Hollywood elite. And so people, take that image of it's okay because these people are still doing great, and they try to project that on their everyday lives.
Right. Like, it kind of just leans back to, in my opinion, what James Brown said, it's a man's world.
It really is. It's a man's world.
It is. And it's kind of true but sad, and it won't mean nothing without us. But, like, some of the research that I gathered, like, on the Forbes list, I think Mark Wahlberg made, like, $68 million. And compared to the number one woman, which was Emma Stone, she only made $21.5 million. And
right.
It's a big gap in between the number one man and the number one woman. The number one woman lines up with the number 15 man, which is Ryan Reynolds. And it's like,
right.
Why do men automatically get paid more money than the women do when they're out there working just as hard as these men are?
Well, see, and I understand that from actually being on both sides of the perspective coin. I was a woman who was working a job that was, my title was, you know, traditionally a female title. My title was office manager, but I was actually a facility manager for a chemical distribution plant. And, you know, there were only two of us that worked there. It was the driver and me. And so since we mainly made our money from delivering these chemicals, the driver was always gone. So I wasn't just sitting in the front office. When we had walk-in customers or, you know, things that, you know, he couldn't get to because he was busy on the road, you know, sometimes even 6 days a week, I was doing it. Like, I was filling these 55-gallon drums. Like, I was loading them onto the backs of trucks because it's a liability for our customers to touch these drums. And I know that most of you out there don't know me, but I'm a relatively small person. Like, I'm, you know, I'm 5'6", and I weigh about as much as I should. So, you know, hauling a 457-pound drum onto the back of a truck is no necessarily easy feat.
Right.
But my driver, when I was gone for an illness I had for a few days, got into my desk and found a check stub that I somehow left in there and got really upset when he found out that I was making more money than he was. And I was like, but I'm doing the job that you're doing plus my job, because when he wasn't there, if he had a doctor's appointment or anything like that, and we had a customer that had an emergency delivery, I loaded it up. Like, I would mix these blends of hazardous chemicals up and then load them into a truck and then drive them and deliver them somewhere. And, you know, he got upset that I was making more money than him because he just considered me a secretary. And he
right.
never could, in the many years that I worked there, understand why I was making more money than him.
Well, you know, again, that's image. You know, I mean, you know, if you take a look at the way that social, you know, interactions work, the man, of course, you know, brings home the bacon. The woman is at the house and that sort of thing. And these viewpoints, you know, even though we have progressed over the years, you know, and I'm older than both of you, of course, because I've seen the progression. It's still so unequal because those, you know, viewpoints are still, you know, ingrained in men, you know, that we're better than women. And that's not true, as far as I'm concerned. I'm very much a feminist along with you guys. But...
Well,
go ahead, Nika.
I had a similar experience. I had worked, see, I was like maybe 21. I had worked on a hog farm, and I was the only girl in that. Most of the women who worked there just did the office jobs. And I was like out in the field with the guys, and I come to find out that the guys started off at 9:50, and they started me off at 8:50. I guess that's, they automatically assume I won't do as much work as them. Because it's like, it's farm work. Like, we have to, like, clean grain bins. We're talking about getting put in harnesses to getting hoisted up to power wash these grain bins. And if you looked at it through perspective, I was doing more work than them because I'm only 5'1". And when I was 21, I was, like, maybe 130. So I was the one automatically put in these harnesses to get hoisted up because I couldn't hoist the guys up. So, in a sense, I was doing more work, even more dangerous work, and yet I was getting paid less.
Right.
And that's just not fair because, like, if something happens, I can get hurt way quicker than they could because I'm the one getting hoisted up almost 50 to 40 feet off the ground. But and I still got paid a dollar less than they did, which
right.
I think, of course,
and
is unfair.
And that's the whole point, is so many people don't even realize that that's the case in, like, every scenario. Now, the company that I worked for, the chemical place, was a woman-owned company, So I do feel maybe that they were a little bit unjustly favorable towards the females, but I also know that I was doing, you know, double the job I was hired for, and I was doing exactly what the driver was doing plus everything that I had to do anyway. And so it always upset me because I didn't understand, like, why is this an issue? Like, why is this a problem? Like, hey, you invaded my privacy. You thought that was totally freaking okay to go through my desk, and I didn't just leave a check stub there just in the top of my desk. Like, it was hidden under things. So he was digging through my stuff. And yeah, that was totally cool. Yeah, and I told my bosses
I'll be wondering if the women in Hollywood get the same type of treatment. They figure by them being women, they're not going to work as hard. Or, I mean, I'm sure everybody have probably the same call sheet.
I got a story for you on that, Mika.
Okay. Yes. Do you know who Rachel Talalay is? Have you ever heard the name?
No.
Okay, she's a director. Okay, and she directed, what was the name of that? The one with Lori Petty, Tank Girl. Okay? And she tells...
Tank Girl's great.
Yeah, I love Tank Girl. But, you know, she was hired to direct this, and everything she tried to do was subverted by the producers. And she was told, well, you can't do action sequences. We've got someone who can do the action sequences because you're a female. She looked at her like, you know, like, fuck you. You know, and she went all the way through this. The woman that directed Punisher Warzone also had the same feeling. You know, it's like women are inferior. They can't do the same thing as men, so... So, you know, if you really think that and you're a producer, then why the hell are you hiring them? At least Rachel now is doing directing for Doctor Who and has a steady job and that sort of thing. But the woman who did Warzone has hardly directed at all, has done a little bit of TV here and there. But, you know,
do you know another movie that happened with?
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. No, another movie that happened with, and I just read this article recently, was, Teeth. Because if you look at the movie objectively, it's really a female empowerment, you know, you can't take me without my consent kind of movie. But and that's what the female director and writer wanted. But when the movie was marketed, it was marketed as a very explicitly sexual movie, which is why it didn't get a lot of acclaim when it first came out. But if you watch it now, it's very prolific as far as, you know, the times that we're living in right now. But everything that these women tried to do with this movie, like, especially as far as the advertising and marketing campaigns, was completely subverted by the, you know, predominantly male, you know, overlords of Hollywood. And that's
right.
Why...
And it's like, why is that? It goes beyond...
Phoebe, what was the name of the movie again?
Teeth. It's the one about the girl who has vaginal dentosis.
Oh, Teeth. Oh, I love that movie.
Yes. But if you see the advertising for the movie, it would make you absolutely sick. Like, they're trying to make it so overtly sexual, and the thing in that movie is that it's not. And these men in Hollywood felt that the only way that they were going to be able to sell this movie was to sexualize it. And honestly, like, I've seen what they originally wanted to do for the marketing campaigns, and I think it would have been a much bigger hit. I mean, now it's kind of like a cult thing, but the whole point is it was written and directed by women, and it was very empowering for women.
Was not directed by a woman. Mickey Lowenstein did that film.
What was that?
But it was written by a woman. It was written by a woman.
Yes. And, sorry, like, I don't have my computer with me today.
That's
but,
okay.
Yeah, it was, I know it was written by a woman, and it was very much about empowering women, and the director did not want it to be marketed in the way that it was, because he understood. But there's so many movies like that, like Jennifer's Body, to be really honest with you. I know it's just kind of a stupid movie, but they sexualized the whole, you know, Megan Fox being in it, and not what the movie was really about.
No.
Right, yes. I've seen Jennifer's Body, and the story was actually way deeper than what the previews probably show, which was my other point I was trying to get at. Like, women are generally sexualized in Hollywood, but yet they get paid less. And that's not fair for people, because I have to look a certain way and still earn less than my counterpart. You know, a man
right.
is allowed to be in a movie that's 50 pounds overweight, but you will hardly ever see a woman in a movie that's 50 pounds overweight. And it's like,
right.
if I have to show my body, which is, I think, in some women, probably would think is more degrading, I have to lower my standards to still get paid less. I think that's so backwards, and I was just trying to maybe figure out and maybe think about why is it that way. It could be because maybe all the top dogs in Hollywood are men, and they're kind of like locking all the other women out who's gunning for their positions.
Well, exactly, and there's been a lot of progress, you know, in that direction over the past few years. I mean, especially with things like the Me Too movement. I mean, they're calling out the big dogs, and there's been people like, oh my goodness, why can I not remember her name? She played Ivy Blue in Doom Generation. Rose McGowan,
yes.
for longer than most people even know, has been trying to speak out against sexual abuse in Hollywood, and nobody's ever believed her. And now, finally, like this whole Me Too.
Oh, yeah, Hollywood totally blackballed her.
Yeah.
Yeah, this Me Too thing comes around, and finally she's starting to be taken seriously. And it's like, no, she's literally been saying this since she left Hollywood, which was in the, like, late 90s, maybe that late. It's just funny that we're getting paid less, we're getting taken less seriously in things.
I'll tell you
right. like one guy can
about.
Say something. Yeah, one guy
okay.
can say something and everybody listens, and it takes like the amount of, it's like 10 women have to say something for people to hear it compared to one guy saying something and people listen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it's the balance is that off. Like Rose McGowan, nobody will listen to her, but like when other women step forward, now everybody wants to listen. And if one guy probably would have had a problem with somebody in Hollywood, you know, he probably would have been blasted all over the TV just speaking on his thoughts alone.
Well, one thing that I'm going to bring up here real quickly is also the image. Okay, so if you take a look at films, how many films do you see where the man is 50, maybe 55, and the woman is like 20 or 25, and they're, you know, a romantic couple? There's this ageism too that creeps in.
Right, yes.
Like, and that's the thing. I mean, sometimes there's movies that like intentionally do that. I think they call them like autumn. Oh, I don't remember.
May,
autumn
December.
Something.
May, December.
Yeah.
Didn't that idea kind of come from just real life, like probably before or any of us was born? Like, you know how it was, the farmer would sell his daughter off to, you know, an older guy. So that image probably just
they were
got
the ones
implanted.
Who had the money.
But
right.
Not only
and
that,
that image just kind of, you know, that image got embedded in our brain so much that when people think of putting people together, their minds put, oh, it's normal for an older guy to be with a younger girl. Because
well,
even in real life, people have dealt with that.
And
you know, it's
when,
not only that. okay? But if you were to go back to old Hollywood, okay, when you had people like Betty Davis and you had, all these people, you know, that were females, it was generally said that if you hit 30 to 35, you no longer can be an ingenue. Okay? And it was like a steadfast rule. So you take a look at something like Bogart and Bacall. Okay, Bogart's in his mid-50s at that point. Bacall is 21.
Okay, what about...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's just not a Hollywood thing. I think that image came from real life that dripped into Hollywood.
Well, see,
because
and
in real life, girls was getting married like at 17 to like 35-year-old men.
Well,
so
and
that
then
was
the
kind of like
they got married even younger than that. Like, as basically,
right,
they had their period, they
ovulating.
Got married off.
Right. As soon as they started ovulating, here comes the great lord from his castle looking every bit 35, 40, ready to marry somebody. So it was kind of like Hollywood was picking up on real society in that type
exactly.
of sense. I mean, and it still goes on today with, what is it, The Greatest Showman. I think Zac Efron got, like, Zendaya about 10 years. And
see, I'm not going to lie. This is a little embarrassing for me, but since we're trying to be honest and talk about gender equality and, you know, age gaps and things, for most of my life, I dated men that were very much older than me. And, now I'm in a very healthy, wonderful, loving relationship with somebody I've been in with for the past many years. And we actually, you know, went to high school together, so we're roughly the same age.
I have a 4-year age limit.
Oh, no, I'm not even going to say, you know, how far the age gap went. I'm not going to say they were, like, geriatric or anything. I wasn't going there. You know, they were still very virile men.
If you're 4 years
know.
Older than me, I can't date you.
Okay, so you ladies know, I'm the exact opposite. I liked older women. I'm now 61, and I'm looking at women at 70 and 75, and I'm okay with that.
And see, what's really funny is you guys know, but not everybody on the show maybe knows, that Christoph from a podcast that he and I host together with our other friend Nicodemus, he was at my house this morning, actually. Well, no. He may be back now. I don't know. I don't care. Anyway, and he and I and my gentleman were all discussing just wonderful older, beautiful women. And one of the ones that came up, of course, was Dame Helen Mirren. I mean, that woman is just audaciously hot at like a bazillion years old.
73.
Well, it was like one movie. What is it, The Graduate, where he was into the older woman?
Yeah.
Is it not The Graduate?
Oh, yeah. That's, no, The Graduate's
yeah,
one of my favorites. I mean, it's got one of the best soundtracks to listen to on vinyl ever. But, yeah, that was one of Dennis Hoffman's really early, or Dustin Hoffman's really early movies. And, oh, my God, I love that man. He's in one of my other all-time favorite movies, which is Stranger Than Fiction. Great one. He's into the woman who's in her 60s, basically, 50s or 60s, and she's seducing him, and he's, you know, just graduated college. He's going to graduate school, maybe. Yeah.
Right. And I'm only 33, and I think in my, but like in my 33 years, that's the only movie I think I can ever recall when the guy was younger than the female lead.
No, you got to think about Arsenic and Old Lace.
I've never seen that.
And
yes,
also Harold
a
and
much
Maude.
Younger man falls in love with a much older woman. Oh, is that Harold and Maude?
Okay.
Yeah, that's it. Harold and Maude. Oh, my God.
Harold
okay, I am
Maude.
Not on my game today.
Is that
yes.
what the movie
Harold
is about?
Harold and Maude.
Is it about a younger man falling in love with an older woman? Yes.
Oh, with his grandma.
Okay, that's my point. We only see the younger man with the older women when that's the plot. Like my example with The Greatest Showman. It wasn't about a younger girl falling in love with an older guy. Pretty Woman wasn't about a younger woman falling in love with an older guy. But they still cast it that way. So if you only really see it the other way around, when that's the story. Like, why can't automatically the woman just be older than the guy? Unless that's the plot of the movie.
And why did it have to be, like, a movement? I can't remember who it was, but I remember reading a story last year where it was brought to a lead, not even a lead actor. Like, I think he was maybe just, like, a you know, supporting actor. He was getting paid more to be in a movie than the female co-star was. And he was like, okay, I'll be in this movie, but I'm donating all of my salary to the, you know, female charities and stuff. But most people didn't even realize it was an issue until a man in Hollywood made a big deal about it.
Well,
and
you know,
a lot of
that's
women
also
get
happened in TV. You know, there's been a lot of people. Leonard Nimoy was one of the first with Michelle Nichols, because the Star Trek animated series. They were going to do voices, and they were going to pay Michelle Nichols less than anyone. And Spock and Leonard Nimoy came up and said, you either pay her what we get paid, or I'm not doing the show, and none of us are doing the show. So, you know, that might not be a well-known story, but that happened in the 70s.
I love things like that. And
right,
you know,
like why aren't men today sticking up for their female co-stars?
It's happening more, Mika. It is
happening a lot more, and I appreciate
it's
that.
It's happening
but...
more. Yeah, it's happening more and more now that you know everybody's starting to say something about it. But I'm just saying, like in general, these guys was not even trying to stick up for their female counterparts or even take a pay cut. You know, to offer give their female counterpart more money. And it's the same thing. I mean, this goes down the pyramid. Because you can do men or women, and then you have, like, the black versus white in Hollywood. You know, black women tend to get paid less than white women. And, it goes all the way down the tier. So, what is her name? Viola Davis. She quoted, if Caucasian women are getting 50% of what men are getting, then colored women or women of color are getting a quarter. You know, why is that? Why aren't these co-stars sticking up for their, you know, that's supposed to be your coworker. Why aren't you sticking up for them? Why aren't you, you know, backing me up? It's like, if it's not happening to you, you don't care about it.
Exactly. And that's something that I've always wondered about is I've always tried to stick up for my coworkers. I've always tried to do the right thing. Like, even though I have genuinely despised to their very core, some people that I've worked with, if it comes down to it and they're in the right, I will let my bosses know. And that hasn't always gotten me in the best graces, but that's why I work for myself now, because, my boss may be kind of a bitch if I sleep in too late, but she'll get over it. Yeah, and I don't understand why more people don't do that. And I think I do. I think that I have learned a lot over the past few years because, again, my gentleman is one of the greatest examples I can give for a lot of things in my life. But he didn't realize that things like rape culture even existed before I came into his life. And, you know, when we first started seeing each other, he had considered being a Trump supporter. And, well, that turned into a horrible argument, but it ultimately turned into someone doing their research and changing their mind about things. Like, I did not realize this was a problem until you mentioned it, and I wanted to fact check you. I researched it and... holy God, this is a really big issue. And I wish there were more people like that in the world, because it's not going to get better if people like us don't say something about it. I mean, I just kind of assumed that everybody knew that this was a problem and that these things were an issue until I met somebody that I was like, wow, you're one of the smartest people that I know, and you've never considered this? Really? Wow. So, yeah.
Well, maybe it's just more people, like you said, more people come together and hold their ground. You know, in the words of the great Abe Lincoln, you know, a house divided will never stand. So maybe if they actually just held their ground and stick together, that, you know, things can probably change for people.
Well, exactly. And you know, these are really uncomfortable topics. Like I said, I'm not going to lie. It turned into one of the worst fights I've ever had in my life. But ultimately, it ended up being a really good thing. Confrontation resolves conflict is what I've always been told. And
right.
I have learned that if you can't get through the confrontation to resolve the conflict, then that's probably not somebody you need in your life anyway.
Right.
But I wish...
Sometimes it helps. Only if both people listen, it helps.
Exactly. But I really feel like, you know, these issues, like these, you know, gender pay gaps and things, especially in the United States, because there's a lot of countries that have done a lot of progressive work towards fixing these problems.
Right. I think the person should just get paid on their performance. Regardless if they're white, black, male, or female, they should just get paid on their performance, and that should be it. You shouldn't pay somebody more because their skin is different or their sex is different.
I really feel like it should not be on job applications, whether you're male or female, white or black, or what the fuck ever. You should be hired on just your abilities.
Like, who
well,
says
you know what? I do have to bring into something here, because being older, you know, I'm looking for employment. And there's ageism, too. You know, I mean,
yeah.
I'm 61 years old. And people don't want to hire me for an office job, things like that. You know, insurance,
yeah. Well,
all that sort of thing. They look at all that.
I see the opposite, too. My cousin had a job, and they prefer to hire older people because they say older people have a better work ethic.
Right.
We have another guest. We have another person coming. Hello, caller on line 216. Hello?
Hi, yes. Hi, it's Kate calling.
Hi, Kate.
Hey, okay. Welcome to the party.
Hi. Hey, I'm looking for the cheese. Is it over here on this table here? The
yes.
Cheese you promised, Carl. Come on, where is it?
Well, is there over on the table?
Oh, okay. Yeah, great.
I have the bourbon. So, sorry, I've been hoarding it.
Yeah, got stuff going on over
hi,
here.
Kate.
Mm-hmm. Hi. Yeah, I just want to say that I spent almost 30 years in the military, and when I got off of active duty and went into the reserves, I found it very difficult to get with the whole pay secrecy and that kind of thing, and finding out that, you know, about the pay gaps and the differences, because in the public sector, at least on the federal side, you know what everybody else is making. So I get to the private side of things, and I'm like, well, how much are you making? And they're looking at me like, oh, my God, they're going to come out of the woodwork and chop your head off, Kate, shut up. We can't talk about that. And it really, really surprised me. I had not been exposed to that all of my adult life. And it is fascinating to me as not exactly being an outsider to it, but I'm glad to see that people are starting to stand up to it, you know, demanding equal pay, bringing it to light whether or not they're allowed to. You know, those websites where they post all that stuff. So.
Oh, my God, Kate, I completely agree with you. And I've talked about it in one of the other podcasts that I'm on, that I was in accounting And I loved it. I found out that I would really, really, really love to be a CPA. It's just fascinating to me. But one of the things that I found out in there, and also when I was doing some research later for one of my jobs, it's actually illegal for your employers to tell you that you cannot discuss your pay with your other coworkers.
Right. But that doesn't mean they're not going to be vindictive and find some other way to get rid of you. And I can be easily provoked on a lot of things. Having been in the military for so long, I don't fit into the touchy-feely office scenario very well. But it was really a shock knowing, I'm doing the same job as this person, and we're getting paid basically the same thing, the only difference being time and grade, time and service. So it didn't matter if you were black, white, yellow, purple, male, female, whatever. It didn't matter.
As long as you followed the rules, you got your money. And that's
right.
That's what is so fascinating about this is so many people don't even realize it, I guess, that they're using, technically bullying tactics. It's not legal for your employer to tell you that you can't talk about your pay, but they'll tell you that, and most people just say, oh, okay, whatever.
Right, or they catch you talking about it, and they put the fear of God in everybody else in the office. I mean, I didn't care. I'm sorry, are you threatening a disabled veteran? I'm going to go talk to human resources over here. I knew how to get them out of my face, but it didn't help my coworkers at all. But it kind of got the ball rolling, and a couple of people really got burned by that. I feel kind of bad starting that fight, but they were courageous enough to pick it up and keep going.
That's the problem is right now you have to start the fights, and it's unfortunate that there's going to be a lot of, innocent victims in all of this. Yeah, casualties.
Well, ladies, if I can interrupt for a moment. I kind of get it, and the reason I kind of get it is when I was younger – I was born with a difficulty muscle problem, and I was in braces for 8 years. And, people looked at me, and I was completely different, okay? But you know what? In the workplace, you still have that. You still, God bless him. I worked with a gentleman at Carl Fisher, who I love, but he would hire these assistants solely based on their legs. And I'm not joking. And I'm like, that's not right, Wesley. It's not right.
Yeah.
And they're not – you like their legs, but their brains aren't there. You've got to hire people as people and what they do. You don't look at them as other. And so,
yeah,
go ahead and that's put the
Sarah
one thing
on a wall,
we all
but...
have to learn.
Yeah, put Farrah Fawcett on the wall or whatever, dude. But, hire somebody who can actually do the job, thanks.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But
it's
happens.
Unfortunate. That type of male perspective on women is still rampant.
The male,
and always will be.
The male gaze.
It's unfortunate. Yeah.
The male gaze.
I don't know. I don't know you or certainly I know Mika and that, but I mean, I remember being in New York, just walking and cat calls and all this sort of thing. And I just would shake my head like, that's not the way to treat people.
No.
And I actually, I have another experience, and this is actually from yesterday, from my own flesh and blood. Now, I take care of my disabled father. He can't drive now, so I have to be his Uber. He does, take care of me for it. But still, I'm his Uber and his, personal chef and everything
personal
else.
Personal shopper and all that kind of thing, yep.
Oh, everything, yes. And also his memory and calendar.
mm-hmm.
But yesterday, now this man broke his hip but 6 months ago. And is still on a cane, still doesn't have a full gait, still can't, walk really. I mean, he's doing much better. He's not on a walker, but still. So I was having problems with my new-ish vehicle yesterday. It's new to me. It's like a month and a half since we got it, but it's used. Very good condition, but it started overheating. Now, nobody on the podcast knows this, but the car gods hate me. And I have been dealing with car problems since I was a child, because anytime I'm involved with a vehicle, something is going to go wrong. So I've learned over the years how to fix pretty much anything that is fixable by a layman that has a few specialized tools.
Right.
Now, I know what to do when my car is overheating, but this man on a cane is trying to get out, and again, it's a new vehicle. I popped the hood. I'm looking at everything, and I'm like, I don't know where the radiator cap is. Normally, you know, it says this.
Right.
And so I went to go grab the manual out of the glove compartment because it's got a big, fat instruction book. Love it. I read the instructions. I'm such a Virgo.
Oh, you're so not an engineer, are you?
No, actually, he is. My father. He's a retired engineer.
There you go.
But,
yep. Skip the manual. Go straight for the button.
Yeah. So he's like, no. I'll do this. I've got this. And I'm like, no, dude. I'm reading the manual. Just give me 2 seconds. Stop it. It's raining. It's cold. You're on a freaking cane. You don't need to be trying to put fluid in this giant vehicle. It's a huge SUV. I don't know. Like, I actually have to use the step bar to get into it. I'm like, this struggling, limp old man on a cane is telling me, who has fixed most of my cars for my entire life, that he's going to do this for me. Really?
Oh, okay. And how'd that work out for him?
Well, let's just say I went back to the hood when he had to go sit back in the car, and I was like, it says Dexcool right there on this cap. Dexcool means radiator fluid. And he's like, no, that's a spare tank. And I'm like, who the fuck has ever heard of a spare freaking antifreeze tank? Seriously.
Right.
No, this is where the antifreeze goes. I was just looking in the book to make sure that that was absolutely where it goes. But no, I had to let him have his man moment and tell me I didn't know what I was talking about. And while he was struggling.
Oh, mansplaining. Let's get into that.
Oh, dear. Tell me.
Oh, dear.
How about you, Mika?
Yeah, tell us about mansplaining, Carl. Tell us about mansplaining, Carl.
I couldn't hear what you said.
Okay. I was just going to say, Mika, but you said something. I'm sorry. Kate?
I was just asking Carl, the man, to explain mansplaining. It was a joke.
That's when a man who doesn't know what the fuck he's doing is mansplaining to a woman. One of my favorite stories in the last day was a man was talking to a woman about her vulva.
Oh, yeah, the Guardian article with Dr. Gunter?
Yes. Oh,
yeah.
Fucking hilarious. It's like, dude,
the correct word is vagina.
You don't have one. She does. She knows more than you.
And she even drew you a picture.
And see, that was another part of my story from yesterday, is I was told that I needed to buy at least a gallon of water and a gallon of antifreeze. And I was like, we don't need water. Yes, we do. They sell 50-50 diluted antifreeze water mixture.
Yeah, it's idiot-proof these days.
I kept trying to explain that, but no, I didn't know what I was talking about. Not that I've ever had a car overheat in my life, ever. Again, the car gods hate me. So, I'm telling you, I have been in some of the most tragically, awfully bad situations in cars, and I know how to fix most of the things wrong with them. So, Yeah, but whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm talking about. Sure, dude.
Yeah, it's like sitting around at the VA listening to these guys tell me all about what it's like to be in the Army when I could outrank them 7 times over and just like, okay, stop talking to me now. Just stop. Okay, I'm going to have to hurt you now. Excuse me. Yeah.
Okay, Mika.
A male ego is as sensitive as his testicles, so.
Yes, that's right.
I don't even want to go down that road.
Yeah. Yeah.
not all of them are, I will say that. Like, this is not like a man-hating bashing show. Like, I have a lot of great, great men in my life.
And Carl has given me excellent advice.
And let me say, I'm not bad. Okay, trust me, there are women who just like shake their head with me like, don't try to live with me, but come visit. I'm okay when you come visit.
Right, yeah. It's like a good liquor. It's best in smaller doses.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I've been categorized as mostly harmless. So don't worry about me.
Okay.
Have your towel. Okay.
Yep.
Like airplane noise. Right over
Yeah,
head.
Sorry.
Mostly Harmless is part of the Hitchhiker's Guide
Oh, yes,
series.
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
So Mika, why don't you get us back on track a little bit? And like, what else did you want to go over?
Mostly just like the images that men get foreshadowed over women, like, it could be Hollywood or not Hollywood, but, like, since the topic was for Hollywood, I'll just go with that. Like, most men can be starring heroes all the way up to maybe their mid-60s, and once, like, women hit their age, they can only play, like, a mother or a grandmother, or the widow or something, like, how come a man can still get looked at as a nice, strong man in a, I guess what they call his golden ages, and a woman, she can only get looked at that, like, maybe 50s nowadays? I'll say 50s. Yeah.
40s.
Like from 20s
think,
to,
probably.
Like, 50s. Well, I don't know, because Angela Bassett is 60, and she looks amazing. So.
Okay, I was just going to say. That is part of what we were talking about earlier today, is not just that these women were, you know, amazingly hot in their later years, but that they were still acting and still being just glorious in years that sometimes are even older than their male counterparts. Like, again, I will mention Dame Helen Mirren in Red and Red 2. I mean, she plays like one of the ultimate badasses, and she's older than most of her co-stars. And she's
I'll tell you one you may not know, Phoebe, is there's a movie called Eye in the Sky where she plays a British general. Okay, and it's all about whether or not a drone is going to take out someone. She works for MI6. And she goes toe-to-toe with Alan Rickman in his last role. Oh my God.
I would have to see
Alan
that.
Rickman,
we were talking about Alan Rickman today, too. But
yeah.
The first thing I ever saw Alan Rickman in was Closet Land, and it ruined everything else for me after that. He was so creepy to me for years. I couldn't even watch him in Harry Potter after that. It's like, he's creepy.
Well, that's the thing is like, for women to be remembered in their later years like this, not people like the late great Albert Finney, who just recently passed away, you know, rest in peace or love or whatever it is you want to say. For women to be remembered in their later years, they have to be just like superseedingly hot for their entire lives. I mean, Albert Finney, if you saw him in Big Fish, like, he was not a good-looking old dude. He was a, you know, creepy, wrinkly, dying of cancer old guy. And not that that's a bad thing, but still,
I just
remember him.
Well, there's not only that, but you take a look at someone like Bette Davis or Joan Crawford in their later years. What did they play? They, you know, Who's Afraid, you know, they played these older hags, you know, who were evil or things like that. That's where, you know, older women go is
well, right.
They even have a name for it. It's called hagsploitation.
And that's the problem is not all of these women have aged so disgracefully. I mean, again, Helen Mirren, Angelica Houston. There's so many I can think of. Okay,
Jessica
Mary Steenburgen. I think she actually got hotter as she got older.
I agree.
And by the way, she is from my hometown that I am actually living in right now, North Rock, Arkansas. There you go.
But well,
I mean, it happens. It happens all over the map. It happens from women to men. It happens from.
Let's just close the door for a minute.
Well, in a sense, on the level, like the black men and the white men kind of get treated the same. They're still looked at as these heroes. Like Denzel Washington's still out there. Have women falling out over him. And then for the women, they get stuck in stereotypic roles. You know,
right.
the white woman, in my opinion, may last a little longer than a black woman because just naturally coming out the gate, you get stuck in either she's going to play this ghetto chick or she's going to be the sass talking, you know, co-star or something. And it's like what I was looking
right.
for is somebody can give me a
it's
good explanation on maybe right, why is that? Like, why do they have these typecasts for people just stepping out the gate? It's like give them a chance, give them the same lane that you put everybody else in and see what they can really do.
Well,
because they don't see them as fully fledged people.
Example of that is Halle Berry, because she did such a good role in Monsters Ball, and then you know,
oh,
everything
Ball,
else she's done, Catwoman, for God's sake,
Charlize Theron.
Charlize Theron does well.
Yes,
I think.
Don't get me started on Monsters Ball.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a good movie. I like it. But it's like she had to take it there just to even get recognized as something more than what she was. And I think that whole thing was just BS.
Right.
But
yeah. Well, she did, you know, somebody's got to be the courageous first one to go out there and say, okay, if this is what it takes, then shit has to change.
Right. That's true, too. Like, the first one is the one who get hit with the bullet. But I get that. But I mean, she
yep.
did open a lot of
yep.
doors for people, but it's just like we have to go to that
yeah.
extreme
yeah.
just to get the same type of audience as another person. It's like we have to go 10 steps to you guys want.
Right. The same kind of audience, the same kind of variety of roles.
Right.
You know,
it's
the,
like
casting,
why,
it's
why
the casting.
You, yeah, it's like the clear ceiling, I guess they want to call it, the glass ceiling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody's having a human being cannot fit in a box. I don't care if you're black, white, male, or female. You know, everybody, personalities do not fit in a box, no matter what color you are. So to put people in boxes
right.
like that, I think it's not right. And I was just trying to find, maybe one of you guys can help me, a call-in person can maybe give me the best educated answer to why do people tend to think that way.
I just missed
because
a little bit of this.
I,
so
I can
sorry,
answer
guys.
That right now.
Well,
okay, because stereotypes are easy.
Mm-hmm.
They're easy, and they're simple. And we all, as human beings, tend to categorize. Okay, what we need to do is stop stereotyping.
Right.
And stop saying, well, this person is good for this, and he's white, he's black, he's this, he's that, he's Jewish, he's Christian, he's... You know, Muslim,
it's,
you know.
It's a self
we love to do that.
Cycle.
And until we realize
yeah.
we're all on the same goddamn planet, we're all human beings, and we have to live together, you know, and respect each other. Because when you stereotype, you lose respect. There you go.
Right.
Right. Definitely.
That is actually what I was trying to say when I just sat face the phone for a minute and missed, like, part of the conversation. So, sorry, guys. I totally agree.
Well, then, you know, if the stereotyping is the only exposure you have to that kind of a person, then
that's all you want to believe.
You lack the imagination to figure out how to not do that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So these people that's in Hollywood who's supposed to be eyes for people who can't really travel the world and meet people, you'll think they have a more open mind to... It's like they push the stereotype more than what it is. Like,
right.
If you go to Hollywood,
yeah,
and want to be a producer and start a movie, you should start breaking those stereotypes on your own to let everybody else out there know that this is not, you know, this type of person don't come in this flavor only. But it seems like they horn in on the stereotype when they should be the ones opening up the doors.
Exactly.
Exactly.
All right. Well, I just had some company come through the door, y'all. It's been wonderful. I'm going to keep listening on my computer. It's been great. And take care.
Thank you so much for calling.
Hey, thank you so much for coming. Don't forget to take some crackers and cheese with you. It's right over there.
Oh, I will. I already slipped some to the dog, but yeah, I'm on that. Thanks, guys.
Okay. Have a great night. You know, I'd like to pop in for just a second about film stereotypes. Back in 2016, everybody remembers the whole Ghostbuster, the female Ghostbuster movie.
Yes.
I watched it, and Paul Feig, the director, said, "We're going to break all stereotypes." What does he do? He puts a very talented actor by the name of Leslie Jones in a stereotype role. She had a lot of potential in the film to go above and beyond, you know, the urban character. And she wasn't allowed to do that because Paul Feig, the director and writer, didn't let her do that. It kind of just drives me crazy. And I actually did a review on this several years ago.
It upset me a lot, too. I'll be honest. I loved her when she did certain stereotype roles in SNL. Like, she did one of those ghost hunter shows things, and she was the stereotypical, like, freaked out person, like, you know, and like running out of the house and stuff, and it was hilarious.
Yeah, but that's SNL. That's SNL job, though. They poke at everybody's stereotype.
Yeah, and I really felt like they did too much of a stereotype with her. And it made me uncomfortable. Like, I liked the movie. I want to say that I liked the movie, but some of it just kind of didn't flow. Maybe like it should have.
And then, with the Ghostbusters, you have two problems in one. You have the stereotype from Leslie Jones, and then you have the all-female cast, which people dogged out dramatically because they were all women.
Even before the movie came out, it was getting so much flack for being an all-female cast. It was going to be the worst Ghostbusters ever.
Well, I'll be honest with you.
Absolutely.
I mean, the ladies did a wonderful job with what they had, but what they had was garbage. That's the thing.
Yes.
It was everything that was written for the film was bad, but the ladies did a great job with it. But like I said, the material is just
you were dealt, man.
exactly.
It's the same thing for Ocean's 8. They talked, oh my God, that movie, I thought the movie was cute. I liked it. And they dogged it out because it was an all-female cast. It was like, it didn't compare to Ocean's 11. Well, it's not supposed to be Ocean's 11. It's supposed to be Ocean's 8. So they was just, it's like, as soon as they hear all-female, they're just already ready to throw out, they expect it to be bad because it's all-female. And I think they didn't have the budget that the guys got, and they just get treated like crap in Hollywood.
Well, you know what? We haven't talked about this, but another thing would be Gamergate. You know, and women who play video games, and of course you can talk about this, Doc, because I know you're a real gamer. I'm not, but man, there was a bunch of shit on that too, and it's just because women are playing and they're not as good as men. Again, it's this goddamn fucking stereotype.
Well, there's also more to the whole Gamergate. As far, I haven't looked at any of the stuff in quite a long time, but there was also an affair between a video game programmer and a video game reporter, and that kind of threw things in the mix, and of course, you know, it was just such a mess that should not have happened. And I don't play. I'll be honest with you, I haven't played online games in quite a while. I mean, I've got Fallout 76, but I don't have to talk to anybody. I can go out in the woods and do whatever in that game. But just playing online, it's terrible for people who have any sort of taste whatsoever, because you get called all sorts of nasty things. And it's 1,000 times worse for female players, from what I've witnessed, because they just get ganged up on by everybody just for playing. Or, you know, if they seriously kick your butt, it's like all these little idiots online just go ballistic, and it's just frustrating. Okay, I'm all done.
I'm not a gamer, so I don't know. And I'm not nowhere near a feminist. I mean, I absolutely believe that there are jobs that men can do and women can't. I mean, I may get poked at for this, but I'm not trying to say, oh, we're equal, we can do what men can do. No, that's not true. Women cannot do what men can do, and vice versa. It's just when it comes to when you're doing the same thing, you should get treated the same. And I say women cannot do what men can do. Not saying there ain't no women out there that can, but this woman, I can only speak for myself. Don't put me on no boat and try to catch some crabs. I can't do that. I can't work on that.
Neither can I.
Out there
now, I can catch them in another way, but that's been way too long, so never mind.
But I can't do that. Oh, I mean, I'm not trying to say I can get out there and be the and do what a man do. I can't do that. So,
Carl,
I mean, it's just when it comes to something as acting, which is pretty much even for both sexes, I think they should just get treated the same, basically.
There you go.
That's it. That's all I had. And then I was going to get into how most black – I got a little bit – how most black women get stereotyped in certain roles as maids, and a lot of that didn't even change until the 70s with the black exploitation, and we talked about that on the last podcast. But I think we came a long way, and I think we still have a long way to go. So we're getting there. One movie at a time. We're getting there.
Yeah.
Well, ladies, I just want you to know that I've been in the kitchen doing some work, and I've actually cooked for us. So, you know, let's finish up the hors d'oeuvres, and we'll have some dinner, and We'll leave this conversation for later. So what all do you have to say?
I think I drank too much wine.
I can get you a ride home, no problem.
Call an Uber.
There's always cheese and crackers, and we'll get some food in you. But, ladies, it has been wonderful to have you. Mika, you did a great job. Thank you very much. Phoebe, you know what I think of you, sweetie. You know, just wonderful to have you here.
Do I get to exit with my song, or are you going to play yours? Because it's all about the
Well,
me.
No, I tell you what, it is my show. You know, and of course I ceded it to you, ladies. So we're going to exit with my version of Money, which is done by a gentleman by the name of Don Covey. And you may want to listen to this, because this is old school funk from 1972. So
hey,
I want to thank everyone. I want to thank everyone for listening, and especially Kate for coming in and visiting. Again, I'm really pleased with everything, ladies. And thank you so much for coming in and sharing tonight. I really appreciate it. And I hope
sure,
I wasn't
I'll
too mad.
Back in time. No. All right, DJ.
All right, Doc. Take us out. Thank you so much. Say good night, ladies.
Good night, ladies.
Good night, ladies.
Good night.
There we go. Good night.
Get it down to the bone, because you can't take it with you when you go, ow! I want something.
I really like that one, Carl. That was good.
Thank you.
You're very welcome,
That's
sir.
That's not the original.
I'll tell you what, he knows how to throw a fun party. All right, everybody.
Good night. Thank you so much, Mika and Phoebe and Kate. It was wonderful. Very, very much. Well done, ladies. Thank you very much. Good night.
Good night, everybody.